Good morning, everyone. We welcome you to worship this morning. I'm looking out wondering, is there an event I don't know about this morning? So, anyhow, great to have you in worship with us this morning. It's a beautiful day to be together. And if you're a visitor with us for the first time, would you, on the way out, take our invitation to stop at the Welcome Wagon and pick up a MIPC hot coffee mug to take home as our gift to you for coming and worshiping with us today. We hope that whenever you use that coffee mug, you would remember us and remember the warm welcome you received and come back when you can. There are just about three announcements that I don't want to give you the details of, just point out so that you can be aware of them, get them on your calendar. The first one is right on the front of the blue page. This is the event we've waited and waited for, which is Lindsay Harris's ordination service, which will happen next Sunday evening at the 5 o'clock service. So, and the 5 o'clock service will be totally different from the morning services. So if you come to the morning service next week, I hope you'll come back and celebrate with us being there for the ordination of a person into the ministry of word and sacrament is a powerful thing, and we've been looking forward to it with Lindsay all year long. So please do come back next Sunday night at 5 o'clock. The other two I just want to mention are the women's retreat coming up in about a month. Information is on the inside page. You'll also be hearing a little more about it during the service today. And just two below that, the men's breakfast that is coming up later next month. But if you could get that on your calendar now, then you won't miss it when it comes because, gee, you already had something else scheduled. The other announcements, please read after worship has ended. It's my sad duty to announce this morning that Cheryl Story's father died yesterday early in the morning, about 3 a.m. Cheryl was with him. She says it was a very sad but also spiritually very powerful event. And so she's taking the morning off to recover from that and to tend to some of the details. June is on vacation this week, so I want to express my appreciation to Mark Anderson for coming and filling in on the organ, and Jonathan Silva, who's going to be leading our choir later on in the service. Cheryl's dad's service will be probably this Tuesday here at the church. We're not sure of the time yet, so you could call tomorrow if you want to come to that service, and we'd be able to give you the time later tomorrow. But we think it'll be Tuesday. Other announcements, please read after worship has ended. Penny Chuang is going to come now and light our Christ candle is a signal that worship is beginning while we take the time to prepare our hearts and minds to worship God. Again, we're glad that you're here with us in worship today.
Please join with me in our responsive call to worship printed in your bulletins. I will sing of your steadfast love, O God, forever.
With my mouth, I will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations.
Let people of all ages bring praise to God. We will sing of your steadfast love, O God, forever. With our mouths, we will proclaim your faithfulness to all generations. Creator God, we come to you in prayer this morning and we ask that you would help us to worship you in spirit and in truth this day, that our consciences may be guided by your holiness, our minds nourished by your wisdom, our imaginations purified by your beauty, and our hearts opened to your love, our wills surrendered to your purpose for us as individuals and as your church. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated.
Our Psalter reading this morning is Psalm chapter 73, verses 1 through 3 and 21 through 26. Which can be found on page 534 in the Old Testament section in the Bibles in the pews. Listen for God's word to the church. Truly God is good to the upright, to those who are pure in heart. But as for me, my feet almost stumbled, my steps nearly slipped. For I was envious of the arrogant, I saw the prosperity of the wicked. When my soul was embittered, when I was pricked in heart, I was stupid and arrogant. Ignorant. I was like a brute beast towards you. Nevertheless, I am continually with you. You hold my right hand, you guide me with your counsel, and afterwards you receive me with honor. Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth that I desire other than you. My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. This is the end of the Psalter reading. Thank you, Lord, for the truth of these words.
In these sacred moments, as we draw near to God in confession, let us prepare to tell the truth that we may hear the deeper truth of God's love. Please join me in our unison prayer of confession. Lord, we have denied you by refusing to know you. We have betrayed you by keeping our distance. We have mocked you by pretending we are not yours. Lord, we are lost. Let your forgiveness find us. Welcome us into your strong, forgiving arms, and let us feel reconciled again. Amen. And now let us lift up our silent prayers of confession. Amen. Friends, God knows we are all in process of becoming disciples. But remember that in Christ, you have been made a new creation, and in Christ, you are forgiven and helped to begin again. Thanks be to God. Since God has made peace with us through Jesus Christ, let us share the peace of Christ joyfully with one another. The peace of Christ be with you always. Please greet one another in the peace of Christ.
At this time, I'd like to invite Becky Showalter to come up, and she's going to share some of her excitement about the upcoming women's retreat. Welcome, Becky.
Good morning, everyone. Consider this your, Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Oh, that's great. I'd like for you to consider, ladies, this is your personal invitation. On behalf of the Women's Retreat Committee, we would love to have you join us November 7th and 8th for the Women's Retreat. We're in a new place, Camp Baraka, down in Auburn. It's still less than an hour away from Mercer Island. We're going to have van pools available, so all you have to do is get here, and we'll take care of the rest for you. Now, I know some of you are sitting out there thinking, well, this is all well and good, but this is really for the young people. Is that right? Let me tell you something. Last spring, I was invited to the Covenant Women's Retreat in April. And I went with a bunch of girlfriends, thinking it would be some good time with them. Do you know who I ended up hanging out with? The Covenant Shores women, because those women were crazy. And if Covenant women can have that much fun at a retreat, I'm pretty sure Presbyterian women can have at least as much fun as those women. So this is not about any particular group of people. This is about all of us coming together to have a really good time. It doesn't matter what age or stage you are on your journey. Our speaker, Pam Drizel from Georgia, will be talking about listening for the Lord. How do we discern with all the voices that come at us every day which voice is coming to us from the Lord, and how do we make that authentic in our lives? So this isn't about raising better kids or being a better wife or being a better volunteer or anything like that. This is between you and God, 24 hours to be with Him, rest in Him, abide in Him, and be with the people that you love the best. So we hope I'll be out back after the service at the registration table. I would love to sign each and every one of you up this morning. Thank you.
At this time, we enter as a community of sharing our joys and our concerns with one another so we can be praying for each other throughout the week. We'll also ask if you will sign and pass that red friendship register that you can find in your pews. If you have a joy or a concern on your heart this morning that you know that you do not wish to share out loud, there are also prayer cards in the pews that you can fill out and drop into the offering basket. And our staff will be faithfully praying for you every Tuesday. I'd like to begin this morning with a joy of my own. We have a new intern with us who just started with us on Tuesday. His name is Steve Araldi. Steve, could you stand for a moment? And we are so excited. Steve drove over across the country from Boston on Tuesday and has been such a natural and wonderful addition to our team. I almost forgot that this Sunday is his first Sunday. So be sure to welcome Steve and meet him after the service. He's wonderful and a wonderful addition to our high school ministry in the Rock. What other joys do you guys bring with you this morning? Dorothy.
My oldest daughter got married yesterday at a golf course. And I'm so glad that she is happy. And
Dorothy, is this Laura or Sarah?
Laura.
Laura. Well, we celebrate with you and with Laura and with the whole family. What a blessed occasion. Let's go over here to Glow.
Glow Sateznik, I have some visitors, some guests on either side of me this morning. First, we have Bruce Thomas, one of our friends and one of the leaders of Tent City 4, who's with us. So welcome to Bruce. And then Ralph and Leslie Purdy, who we originally met Leslie on one of our trips to Vietnam. And she was at that time, they were attending St. Mark Presbyterian Church, where Dale's ex-college roommate, or seminary roommate, is the pastor. So they're up from California, brought us the nice sunny weather, and we're just so happy to have them here with us today.
Well, Bruce, Ralph, and Leslie, we are so excited to have you, and thank you for your partnership in ministry. Let's go back here to Grace.
Hi, I just have a joy for my mom. It's her birthday today, and I don't know how old she is.
But that's okay. We don't need to say that out loud. Yeah. But happy birthday, and we're excited to celebrate with you. Other joys.
My name is Mary Lou Ennis, and it's a joy to be able to get the day off of work finally and be here. And a huge joy in my life is that my daughter Katie just got engaged.
Well, congratulations, and congratulations to Katie. We celebrate with your family.
Joy back here. Yeah, I'm Rosie Seeks, and my stepmother just died this last week. She was ill for just a short time, and she would have been 90 this month. She had a wonderful life, and I think she was ready to go. So I just praise God for the wonderful, full life that she had. And I'm also very thankful that a few weeks ago I got to go and spend some time with her and kind of say goodbye to her.
Rosie, our thoughts are with you and your family as you just celebrate the life of such a wonderful woman. Any other joys? Let's move to concerns. What concerns do you have with you? Glow.
It says this in the bulletin too, but I wanted to note to the congregation that Boyd Stockdale is leaving tomorrow for the Child Academy in Tembisa, South Africa. And many of you know he's going there. This has been a month or two after Isaac, our leader there, has died. So he's going to meet with the board at the Child Academy, part of our scholarship program, and just prayers for traveling mercies and some really good talks with the school board there.
Thank you, Glow, and our prayers do go out for Boyd as he travels, and also for Child Academy and for Isaac's family as they continue to mourn his passing and go through this time of transition. Prayers will be with them all. See a hand way in the back?
Hi, I'm Rochelle Bassetti, and I would appreciate prayer for a little friend, Delaney Clark, that the pathology tomorrow is benign on that lump.
Thank you, Rochelle, and our prayers will be with Delaney as the whole family waits in expectation of the biopsy of this lump, that it will turn out to be nothing. Thank you for your prayers. Let's turn our hearts in prayer. God of wonders, we gather together as your people who long to know you. We thank you for being ever present to us, for your comfort, for your peace, for the community you set around us to remind us of your love when it can so easily be forgotten. We praise you for your grace that is demonstrated through those in our lives who stand by us during times of hardship, times of joy, who offer their presence when we are at risk of feeling alone. We praise you for being a God who refused to keep your distance, but instead, you're a God who is always near and always listening to our prayers. Lord, help us to be a community who welcomes not only each other or those who are like us, but everyone. We ask for guidance in how we as a community can demonstrate your unconditional love to all who cross our paths. We pray where there is sickness, you will bring healing. Where there is grieving, you will comfort. Where there is division, you will provide reconciliation. Where there is anxiety, you will provide assurance. Where there is loneliness, you will be present. And where there is darkness, you will shine brightly. We lift up to you the financial worries of our country right now and ask that you will guide our leaders and ourselves to make wise decisions. We recognize that all we have is yours, Lord, and we seek wisdom on how to honor you with the blessings you have given us. We lift up all of our joys and all of our concerns to you, Lord, as an offering. Accept us into your care. And now we pray together as you taught your disciples to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. If you are a kid, raise your hand. If you consider yourself a kid, raise your hand. Raise them high. I want all the kids to come gather in the front here for a time with Pastor Sherry.
Hey, good to see you all. Come on up, just take a seat. Today I want to talk about what it means to follow someone. And it's important for us because that's what Jesus asks us to do, doesn't he? He said, come and follow me. And so I think it's important for us to understand what that means for us. First of all, I just wanted to ask you guys, what do you think it means to follow? Like, if somebody asks you to follow, how would you describe that? Any ideas? Yeah, exactly, to do what the other person, like when you're following the leader, you play that game, follow the leader. And in the breakfast service, some of the kids were saying, it means you stay right on their heels, which is a good definition. You just kind of follow and do what they do. And I have noticed that there are quite a few good examples of following in nature. For example, have any of you ever seen baby ducks following their mother? Have you? What do they look like? They're like a straight line, aren't they? And they just follow right along with their mama duck. And if there's sometimes on the streets you can see a sign that says duck crossing, and it even has a picture of a mother duck with little babies following her in a straight line. And then have you ever watched ants marching along in a straight line following their leader? Yeah, you've all seen that. It's amazing. I mean, their line can go on forever, and they just follow in perfect order. Well, and then there's dogs and cats. Now, which one is better at following, do you think? Dogs. Dogs are, you know, when I call my neighbor's dog over to come and follow me if I want to go for a walk, his name is Dozer. He comes running over, and the first thing he does is jump up on me and almost knock me over. But then he actually follows where I'm going. He's really happy to do that. However, when I ask my pet cat, Emily, to come and follow me, you know what she does? She just looks at me, and then she goes on doing whatever it was she was doing before I asked her. Cats are not good followers. Well, I really wish that we could follow Jesus as easily as ducks follow their mothers and as ants follow their leaders. But I have a feeling that most of us are a little bit more like cats. Because, you know, we tend to kind of just keep doing what we were doing a lot of the time, even though we know Jesus wants us to follow him. But the good news is that Jesus knows that we're a little bit like cats. And that's why I believe he wants us to spend our whole lives, no matter whether you're young or whether you're old, we are all trying to figure out what it means to follow Jesus. And that's why we come to church, that's why we pray and we go to classes. We all are trying to learn more about what it means to follow Jesus. And the thing is, even if we're not as good at following Jesus as ducks are at following their mama or ants are at following their leader, Jesus knows that we need his help, and he's never going to leave us. He's always going to be there calling our names and helping us as we try to follow him. So before we head off to the worship center, let's just say a prayer together. Let's pray. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for promising to be with us all of our lives, for helping us to learn how to be better followers of your way of love. And we ask this in your name. Amen. Thanks for coming up. And for anybody who is 4 years through second grade, Worship Center is now open, so you can go on back to Worship Center. Or if you want to stay in worship, there's an art cart out there with books and things to draw on and books to read, and you're welcome to go out and get something. Thanks for coming up. You gonna go out? Right there, sweetie.
Let us pray in preparation for the reading and preaching of God's word. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit, that as the scriptures are read and Pastor Dale preaches your word, we may hear with joy what you say to us today. Amen. Our gospel reading is from John chapter 11, verses 5 through 16. Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, and having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and are you going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble, because they see the light of this world. But those who walk at night stumble, because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going there to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought that he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake, I am glad that I was not there, so that you may believe. But let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go, that we may die with him." This is the word of the Lord.
When we began this sermon series on courage 6 weeks ago, we had no idea of the level of anxiety that would be among the people, that would be throughout the nation, that would be spreading around the world today. The economic news is bad, and then worse still. And people are asking themselves, will I be okay? Will I have enough for the future? Some are already asking, will I have enough for today? We had no idea of the level of anxiety that we would be living with today. In my lifetime, which children in the congregation would probably say has been a pretty long one already, I can only think of one or two other times in my life that I can remember the level of anxiety being as high as it is today. We just had no idea when we began this series on courage. But it seems to me that people of faith have a choice to make with this level of anxiety in the world and in our lives. We have a choice. We can decide that in spite of the anxiety, or even because of the anxiety, we will choose to live more completely into our faith, that we will find ways to draw nearer to God, to believe the one who said, "I will never leave you or forsake you," to believe the theme verse of our scriptures that we are to trust in the Lord with all our heart and find new ways to be trusting in the Lord, to in all of our ways acknowledge him, believing he will direct our path, he will set our feet upon the rock, he will make our steps secure, he will show us the way. This anxious time is the opportunity to grow in our faith, because we can live into it more completely with our trust and our drawing near and our love. We can decide that we will find the courage of our primary allegiance, which is to Jesus Christ, the one we call Savior and Lord. We can decide that, or kind of by default, we can just rise and fall with the anxiety or lack of anxiety based on the news of the day. And I think if we choose that second one, the risk is that somewhere subconsciously we will decide that our faith doesn't work in the anxious times. Our faith is not up to the really troubled times. So I would urge us all in this time of anxiety throughout the world to choose the first, to say we are going to find the courage, we are going to live in trust, we are not going to retreat into our self-protective shells, We are not going to stop having compassion for those around us who are in need. We are not going to stop being generous with what we have been given that God wants us to share in the world. We will not do those things. Rather, we will live our faith. We will find the courage of our allegiance to Jesus Christ and know that in Him we will be fine. We will get through. Now, in the story from the Gospel of John that Fred just read to you, one of the disciples kind of gets this. It's the disciple Thomas, the one who at the end of the reading says, "Let us also go with Jesus. Let us stay with Jesus, even if we die with Him." The setting of the story is this. Jesus had recently been in Jerusalem on one of the festival days, and He had gotten into a heated argument with some of the religious leaders. Jesus had been trying to describe to them His relationship to the one that Jesus called the Father, or my Father. He had said that when you see the works that I do, you are seeing the works of my Father that my Father sent me to do. When you see my works, you know the Father. He even says, I and the Father are one. But the religious leaders are not looking at His works, not seeing that they are good and full of compassion and full of the wonder of the goodness of God for people in the world. Rather, they are listening to His words and they are taking offense. They are offended that He speaks with such familiarity about God. No one should claim to be that close to God. No human being should ever say, I and the Father are one. They are offended. This is blasphemy, they say. People shouldn't be talking this way about God. And as people in power sometimes do in the midst of a heated dialogue, they change the dynamics. And this is how they do it. Some of their supporters begin picking up stones. And everyone knew that the penalty for blasphemy was being stoned to death. So now Jesus and His disciples are in a very dangerous situation. Well, Jesus and the disciples escaped that situation. John doesn't really tell us how, just that they withdrew. And Jesus leaves Jerusalem. He withdraws across the Jordan River to the east side where John the Baptist used to baptize people. And He and the disciples are there together for several days. And then word comes to them from people that Jesus dearly loves. This is a family that is as close to family for Jesus as any in the Gospel of John. Two sisters, Mary and Martha, and a brother, Lazarus. And John says twice in just these few short verses how much Jesus loved these people, loved this family. And word comes from the sisters that Lazarus, whom you love, Jesus, they say, is very sick. In fact, gravely sick. Now, you may have experienced in your own life how difficult it is to be some distance away from people you love when they are gravely ill. And Jesus could imagine the suffering and the grieving and the as the sisters watch their brother just kind of slowly fade away. And there is good reason from a human point of view why Jesus would not go back to be with them, to go back to Bethany where Lazarus is to go right next door to Jerusalem, back to the place of danger. And the disciples know it, and the disciples do not want to go, and they urge Jesus not to go. And there is good reason from a human point of view not to go. It's going back into the danger. But Jesus has another reason not to go for a little while. It's because he has decided that the time has come for him to show the disciples the wonder of God and the love of God in a way they have not seen or imagined up until this point. He has decided that he will, when he goes back, he will call his dear friend Lazarus out of the grave. And people will see the power of resurrection for the first time. And people will know that this power of resurrection is in Jesus. He says to them, "Our friend Lazarus is sleeping, but I am going there to awaken him." And I think you can feel the emotional power of that startling statement if you think of someone you love who has died, and then think of Jesus saying about that loved one, "I am going to awaken him, to awaken her." I think that Jesus chose his dear friend for this demonstration of the great news of God's love, because he never wanted anyone to be able to say, "Oh, he didn't care about that person. That was just a stranger." No, this was someone he deeply loved. This is someone that when he did get there and saw the sorrow, the scripture says that Jesus wept and wept and wept. He did care. He was full of compassion. But he said, "I didn't go so that you, my disciples, would be able to believe this amazing thing that no one had ever believed or imagined to this point, the power of resurrection in Jesus Christ." When Jesus gets there, that's when he says the words that you're all familiar with, "I am the resurrection and the life. Everyone who believes in me will never die. If you believe in me, you will live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. I am the resurrection. I am the life." And once the disciples see that and know that, it will change everything about what brings anxiety in the world and what does not, what's important to worry about and what's not so important at all. He wants to give them this great gift of knowing the power of the resurrection. And it seems to me that in our time of anxiety, though the circumstances are very different, the reminder of the powerful love of God, with the power to even bring us back from the dead, that should challenge us in these anxious times. Will we draw near again? Will we trust more? Will we keep living with him and for him? Or will we not? And Thomas, he's the one who kind of gets it. Actually, none of them yet are getting the resurrection part. But he's the one who decides Jesus is going and I am going with him. It may not be so much that he had more courage. It may be rather that this is about relationship, that this is somehow about the love that Thomas has experienced from Jesus, or this is about the goodness that Thomas feels about life and about following Jesus. The psalmist in Psalm 73, remember, said, I have no one in heaven but you. There is nothing on the earth that I desire apart from you. The one desire that I have in this world is you, Jesus, to be with you, to continue with you. And so if it comes down to a choice of going with Jesus into an anxious situation or staying behind without him, Thomas will go. He will have the courage of his primary allegiance, which is to Jesus Christ. Now, this is good news for us, because Thomas is not the disciple that always is the smart one, that always gets it first. In fact, often he doesn't get it. Just a little later in this story, he's the one who will say, "Lord, we don't know where you're going. How can we know the way? We are just not getting this." He's the one who will have trouble believing the resurrection of Jesus. He's the one who is doubting Thomas. He's the one who says, "I won't believe it unless I touch the nail marks in his hands and put my hand in his side." That means that we don't have to always get it, that we can be struggling with our faith, that we can be doubting and still make this choice. Because it's about relationship. It's about wanting to be with Jesus. It's about having the courage of our primary allegiance to the one who loves us this powerfully and who has the power of resurrection and life in him. In our anxious times, do we choose again to draw near to him, to trust in him, to believe that if we in all our ways will acknowledge him, he will guide our path, he will get us through? The danger in this story turns out not to be the danger of going back where people were about to stone Jesus. In fact, Jesus says what the danger is. It's in that part where they say, "We don't want to go back there." And he says, "Are there not 12 hours in the day?" Remember that? 12 hours of daylight? What he is saying is, walk in the light while you have the light. If you walk in the light, you won't stumble. If you walk in darkness, you will stumble. And the word for stumble there is a very violent word. It's to fall down, to smash against, to beat yourself up against, to really be injured and harmed. And Jesus has twice already said in this gospel, "I am the light of the world." He is clearly saying the only danger, the only significant real danger in this world is if you walk in darkness. If you are not with me, if you do not have the light of the world with you. So we're in this time of huge anxiety. It is a time for people of faith to decide again. Do I have the courage of my primary allegiance? Do I trust the one who said, "I will not leave you or forsake you"? Will I continue to live my life as Jesus said to live, find new ways and more ways to trust and to be compassionate and to be generous and to live as though all will be well because Jesus is with me? Or will I become anxious and worried and draw back and only take care of myself? That's the choice that we've got. There is no one in heaven we have except him. There's nothing on the earth that we desire more than him. Let us encourage each other to step up to faith again, to live into courage again, to remember our primary allegiance to Jesus and just how wonderful he is, and go from this place to live our faith for all of our days. Please join me in prayer. You know the anxiety that is in us, Lord, great or small at this time. You know the desire that we have to be your followers. Fill us again with your Holy Spirit. Give us the courage of our primary allegiance, which is to you. Help us to live all our days, knowing that if we are walking in the light with you, all will be well. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Freely we have received, so freely give, remembering the words of the Lord Jesus, it is more blessed to give than to receive. The ushers will come forward now to receive this morning's offering.
Thank you.
let us pray. Giver of life, receive all we offer you this day. Let the spirit you sent upon your church continue to work in the world through the hearts of all who believe. We ask this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen.
Christ had the power of resurrection in him, then everything else he said must also be true. He said, "I will never leave you or forsake you." So go from this place in peace to love and serve the Lord, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, from this day on and forevermore. Amen.